You know, I think most of us, if we had the opportunity, we would love to see a miracle like the first reading or the gospel. Now, especially those who have large families to feed, or maybe you've got a large group you're planning to feed at some time in the future, you'd love to see this where you could take just a little bit of food and feed 5,000 people, feed a large group. I think we'd all love to see that at some point in our life, but we also realize that we probably won't see this exact thing happening, really ever. But these miracles in both the first reading and the gospel have something to say to us. They tell us that God wants to give us abundantly. He wants to feed us. He wants to give it to us generously. He wants to give us the graces that we need for eternal life. Now you notice in these miracles, both the first reading and the gospel, there had to be a sacrifice. A sacrifice had to be made. Something had to be given to either the prophet or our Lord for the food to then be distributed. You know, there are the 20 loaves that were given to the prophet Elisha, or the 5 loaves and 2 fish that were given to our Lord that were then distributed to the crowds in front of them. But that initial sacrifice had to occur. The miracle didn't come out of thin air. Well, in the same way, God wants to be generous with us, and so he gave us our Lord, who sacrificed his life for our sakes, so that we might have eternal life. Our Lord gave himself to feed us with his body and blood, so that we might enter into that eternal life. As I will say in the Eucharistic prayer here in just a few minutes, we offer his body and blood, the sacrifice acceptable to you, which brings salvation to the whole world. By receiving our Lord, we open ourselves to the graces for eternal life, or at least as much as we are open, we receive those graces. We are therefore called to follow our Lord's example. When we receive Holy Communion, when we come forward at the end of Mass to receive our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, we unite our sacrifices with his. We unite the sacrifices of our daily lives with our Lord's death, his sacrifice on the cross. Then we receive God's grace in return for what we've sacrificed. We receive as we are open. You know, if you look at the miracles, in both cases, there was food left over. Everybody was able to eat their fill. They were full by the time the food was done being passed around. And there was still food left over. In our lives, God wants to give us more than enough grace. He wants to give us an infinite amount of grace, as much grace as we can have and then some. We accept what we are open to receive. We become open through our sacrifices. What we sacrifice in the name of God, for God, we receive. That opens us up to those graces. But what we hold back for ourselves blocks us off from God's grace, gets between us and the grace that he wants to give us. So what this means is, if we have sacrificed much, if we have given much to God, given our lives to God, we will be open and will receive much of his grace, a great amount of his grace. If we have sacrificed little, if we have given very little to him, we will receive very little of his grace, because we will have blocked much of it. Sadly, if we have sacrificed nothing, if we have given nothing of our lives to God, we will receive nothing, because we will have closed ourselves off to this grace which God wishes to give us. Then when we come forward to receive communion, it is nothing more than a symbol in our minds. It is nothing more than just joining the community in receiving the sacrament, instead of receiving the graces that flow through that sacrament. So what are these sacrifices that we are called to make? Very simply, the sacrifice that we are called to make is ourselves, is our very lives. We are called to return to God everything that we have and everything that we are, to make that available to him. The advice that I was given several times, and I truly believe this is true, that when the offertory is being performed, when the altar is being set up, and the bread and wine are placed on the altar. At the same time, we place our lives in our hearts. We take our sacrifice of our lives and we set it there spiritually next to the bread and the wine, so that when the priest, myself or whatever priest, says, "Pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father," I'm not just talking about the bread and the wine, but I'm also talking about the sacrifices that you are offering, that we are all offering in that spiritual connection. By spiritually placing ourselves on the altar, we are asking that our sacrifice as well may be offered. The sacrifice of our very lives may be found fitting and worthy. And when we do that, when we take the time, we make the effort in our hearts to offer ourselves, then we are open to offering everything we have, our time, our efforts, our money, our gifts, our things. We make them available to God because we have already done that by offering our very lives. We realize that all of that is a gift from God, and we are giving it back for His use. We are giving it as a gift back to Him. We realize it is a gift from Him, and we give it back as a gift. This is what true stewardship means, is realizing that our very life and everything we have is a gift from God, and that we are to offer that gift back to Him for His service. So my challenge for you today and every day is to offer your life here on the altar as the offertory is being made. Make that spiritual prayer in your heart. All I have is yours, Lord.